Physically, and that day I have the opportunity to look at them and see who they are, and because I read a lot about them and I heard a lot of warnings against them, and I said, I have to experience it myself. So you have a certain time, and they have bodyguards, these men, prophets so-called. So as we stand at the door, there was a guy lying on the ground, and his eyes is, you know, wow, I look at that, and the people was look like they fanning water on him, and some look like they throw buckets on him, but there's nothing in their hands, and they say, give him more, Lord, give him more and more. And I said to my wife, this man is demon possessed. Look at his eyes, look at his teeth, look at his claws. His hands look like claws. He's lying there and to them. And they say it's the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a deception. Show me, and I ask, show me in the scripture that this is the Spirit of God. They get offended. Why? Because the lie don't want to be confronted. You confronted one of the pastors, then they say you sin against the Holy Spirit. No, I don't. Why? Because the Spirit of God will tell me or ask me, why didn't I check first with him? How? 1 John 4 verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. You, who is busy in this body, who are you? No one done it. No one. They say, give him more, give him more. Lord, it is you. And they praise God that this man is filled with the Spirit of God. What a deception. I said, this man wants to devour that is around him. Isn't the Spirit of God gentle? Is he the one that will lead and guide us in all the truth? Isn't he the one who is gentle and look at the fruit of the Spirit? But because we have a lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6, my people is gone astray, and they like it that way. Don't confront me with the truth. What I have is of God. I will not believe it, and I will not deny it until I test it. That is what the Bible teaches me here. Don't be gullible, because that lie is going to govern your whole life. It's going to be make you blind. It destroys the truth. It shatters your relationship with God and with others, because it's a lie. That's why David in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, search me, O God. It's not that I search my heart. I invite him to search my heart. Search my heart, O God, to know my heart. Because he said in Jeremiah, what, 17, I know your heart. I know your heart. Ma'am, he knows your heart. Men, he knows your heart. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxiety, my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. It's a prayer of sincerity, of dependence. It is an invitation, Lord, because I can't trust myself. If you left it up to me to scrutinize my life, I'm going to overlook all the bad stuff, Lord. But I know you are just, because the foundation of God's truth, the throne is justice and righteousness. When I invite you to come and do it, you're going to do a thorough work. You will take the magnified glass and every aspect of my life. You're going to see if there is some deceit and darkness and whatever you don't want in my life. Come and search me, Lord. When last did we invite the Lord to do that for us? In our hearts, it's where it comes from. Again, I said it again. The truth welcomes to be questioned, but not the lie. I think many years ago, not so long ago, every now and then we get these WhatsApp pictures, né? And on the picture is a lips. Not sure if it is woman lips or man lips, but there's a lips that has got sugar on it. And then he say, you know, rather hurt me with the truth than comfort me with the lie. And that thing stuck in my heart. Sugarcoat lips, because the gospel is offensive, isn't it? I don't have to be offensive. It is automatically, the gospel is offensive. You know what is amazing, that there, that Paul said himself, today in our time, the spirit say, not man say, the spirit say, we live in perilous times. We live in times of apostasy. And it is in the church. It's not in the world. It is in the church. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and you see all the end time sins. In just one chapter, four times Paul talked about the gospel in Philippians 1. I share it in this week with the ACM meeting. I said there, as Paul Cobbini in the first instance where he used the word gospel, he expressed his gratitude towards the Philippians because of the partnership they have in the gospel. Then he come and say that whatever happens to him, the reason why he's here is has a purpose. Why? So that the gospel will be go further. Don't think that because what happens to you, the gospel is going to die with you, because it's not your gospel. It's not my gospel. It's God's gospel. And he say that what happens to me will is actually, you know, the furtherance of the gospel, because other brothers and sisters will take it up and with boldness like a lion, they will go and proclaim it. You can't kill it. You can't stop it. And then he come and say, but there's also the hope of the gospel. And then there's the faith of the gospel. Four times in Philippians chapter 1. And if you look back what we discussed the other day, the church history, and through church history, I think you get a book, Fox Martyrs. Of all the, not all the, because there's daily people who give their lives for Christ behind the iron curtain. Christians that has been persecuted with their lives until today. Will people, and I asked that question last time, will people give their lives for a lie? Will you go and be burnt on a stake or fed to the lions for a lie? I don't think so. The spirits say we live in that times. Another cause is sin and rebellion. We choose to disobey God. We choose to believe the lie. How many of us, and I think of our context in the mission, how many times that we accept the lie from our friends that the drugs or the alcohol or whatever will do you nothing? And look where many of us sit. I said not so long ago that we, many times people say, hey, I have a history with this friend, man. I come from the primary school together. You know, and through all of life, we are always together, like Heckel and Jekyll, inseparable from each other. And I said, well, you might have a history together, but you will never have a future together. Never. Because he's a dropout, you're a dropout. He used drugs, you do drugs. He go to jail, you go to jail. It's like two friends stand on a bridge, and he said, okay, we're going to give our lives, you know, we're going to commit suicide, okay? Yeah, cool, man. Okay, on the count of three, then we all jump, cool. One, two, three. Hey, why don't you jump? Hey, I'm going to miss you, man. You might have a history together, because we listen to the lie, how they deceive, and they quote scripture. Can you believe it, that these people quote scripture? And say, because what is good for Jesus is good for me. Jesus make wine, man. Come on, let's drink. That's unwise, because they don't know scripture. They are just religious. They think they know God. They know nothing about him. So we believe them. That's why we are where we are. Because we believe the lie. And when the truth comes. Oh, I know, when last year, I think what was last year with me and Mike Harty in his program, and we talk about Christmas and alcohol, and oh, you must see some of those feedbacks who come back. People don't like it. Oh, people don't like it. They want to drink, man. They want to indulge in it. I'm talking about Christians. Thank God for those positive, and even if it is just for one person out there whose life can be changed, the rest, you can see, they don't like that truth. Why? Because it hurts. We are rebellious. We don't want to obey God. Because we think we will get away with it. You know why so many get away with it? Because they think God's dead. Ecclesiastics say, because we are not immediately being captured when we do wrong, you think people has overlooked it because no one knows it. We forgot to look up. And saw that God saw it, And Numbers 32 verse 23 say, you can be sure of that. If you keep on doing like this, your sin will find you out. Your sin will catch up with you. You can bribe whatever you want to bribe on earth, but there's one person we will never bribe, and that's God. But we are so deceived that we think we can get even away with God. How are you going to do that? There was a couple in, a long time ago, and the wife said, I'm done with my husband, and this and that. And the husband tried to work it out, and the wife said, I'm done. I'm going to divorce, and I'm going to do it, and this is a reason. And none of her reasons was biblical. No ground. I said, the divorce say to say that is one thing. How are you going to get away with God, with your vow that you make before Him? If you disregard your husband and all the other witnesses, what about God? You think you're going to deceive Him? You think you're going to tell Him this nice story with your charm? Hell, why do we do that? But Paul also gives us an answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you can, why do many do that? Because their minds are here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. He gives us also a reason. Let me read from verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced, listen to what Paul said, renounced secret and shameful things. We renounce that. We do not use deception to get what we want. We didn't pull a blanket over your eyes and cheat you into stuff. He say, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. We didn't twist it like the devil always do. Not sometimes, he do it always. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, so simple a child can understand it. This is what we've done. We commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, and I want to tell you, Satan is no God. He will never be one. But the reason why he called him like that is his followers worship him as one. But he's no God. That's why also it's been written with a small letter G. You see, it is the God of this age has blinded their minds of the unbelievers. And I think many times for the believers too, that they can't see, they can't understand, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that display the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Oh folks, here is so much here. Why do they deceive people? Because they're going to perish. Their conscience has been seared. I told you about last time panentheism, new streams in theology, where they say they don't believe in the atonement work of Christ anymore. They downplay the atonement work of Christ. You can save yourself. You don't need a savior. That is the new streams that go into theology. And God, if he was a woman, she would never send her son to die such a gruesome and gross, you know, horrible death on a cross. They don't believe it anymore. Their minds, they're blind, they are blinded. They can't understand, they can't see it. It is a few, I don't have the time for a few, if I can just dot it down. Matthew 23, verse 16 to 26. The Pharisees were so blind they couldn't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. 1 Samuel 16, 14 to 23. King Saul disobeyed God and lose his kingship and his kingdom. Because he was spiritual blind. Why? He disobeyed God. The same with David and Bathsheba. Blind. Can't see the truth. Blind by their own lust and greed. And then in Revelation 3 verse 14 to 22. The end time church where we live in today. Blinded. We are naked and we think we are rich. And everything in the church goes. He said even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who will perish. Folks, I'm going to try to sum up because I still have a lot and my time is running. Listen, many people, can I ask a question before I said, if Paul said here that they cannot see the light of the gospel that display the glory of Christ, Is there something wrong with the gospel? I want you to answer that in your heart. Is there something wrong with the truth that all of church history will give their lives for that? Is there something wrong there? If we talk about the infallibility, you know how many times in this past week I call that name, infallibility, just to pronounce it correctly. Inerrancy, man alive, infallibility, sure, that thing is, I hope it is ingrained in my heart. Many years ago, I didn't even know you get a name like John MacArthur. And I hear on the radio, man, who's this guy? And he talk, and it's just the radio. I imagine, I picture him in my mind. Who's this guy? He's up and down. I think he's up and down. And he run like this, and he run like, and he talk about scripture. Is Bible relevant for today? And infallibility in the inerrancy of scripture. And say, who's this guy? Yeah. And then at the end of the, and then they say it was John MacArthur. Is the Bible reliable for today? What's the theme? Say, so, wow, and something inside here being stirred up. A fire is being kindled here. Wow. Maybe that's why I can't stand still. This heat burns so much inside of me, I can't stand still. Spurgeon said, when you preach, and maybe he heard that too. When you preach it in such a way that the people will see what you see and what they feel what you feel. I don't get it right, Spurgeon. You have to come, the preacher of preacher. No. Is there something wrong with this glorious light of Christ? Why is it that so many can't see it? Do you know? They don't want to see it. They make a choice. A willful choice not to see it. There's something wrong in the heart. There's nothing wrong with this glorious gospel. I asked last time the question, if they come in here with their guns and say, if you want to live, leave this chapel. Throw your Bible down there on the ground, spit it and go away. You will live. Those who stay will be killed. I wonder what will we, do you hear me? We, what will we do? Just to save our skin. I think of that many, many times. We live in a time. We are not better than our brothers and sisters there who's been persecuted and have to give their lives for Christ. We are not better than them. I pray God that it won't come. We might have our own way of persecution. But what if it comes? The minds are dull. There, the beauty of the gospel don't want to be accepted. I said, for many people, the truth, the gospel of Christianity, Jesus himself, is not attractive to me. If I can ask a question again, what for us as Christians, for those who belong to God, what of him attract you? What about him attract you? Why is it so many want to run away from him? Don't want to be changed. Don't want to have that life that he offers us. The devil has nothing to offer us. Look at your life before you met Christ. It was a mess. And Christ wants to offer us much better. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. A sweet fragrance. It is like you play a football game or whatever sport and you win. Even if it is just with 1 point, you win. Man, the losing team will feel it and they will know it. Every time they look at you, they know they've lost with 1 point. And you are so grateful and you are in seventh heaven. And you are, man, you just bubble up of joy and. And you will know if you are in the losing team, how it smells. For them, it's a glorious victory. For you are a smell like rotten meat. They say, for us who have Christ in our lives, it's like that glorious light has made an imprint in my life. It influenced my life and it changed my life. The God of this world, the gospel, the truth is shining, but people refuse to accept it, refuse to see it willingly. Listen to this. Maybe you can hold on to your seat. If one refuses willingly the light of God, the light that God gives them, if you refuse that, the heart starts hardening. You hear that? And it will keep on hardening because I reject it. And it will cost God a tsunami in your life to get you out of there. Every time you hear the truth and you reject it, it gets harder and harder. And this whole Bible book that is supposed to mold our hearts and shape it so that God can work with it, it hardens it. The same as this old Bible book that people, like Paul said in Philippians 1, preach it with pure motives to plunder hell and populate heaven. Others use the same Bible to deceive us. The same Bible. Did God say? And they will use all kinds of reasoning and philosophical nonsense to try to prove it's not the truth. Why? Because they don't want to accept the truth willingly. So I close and I say here, many, if you think of John 12:37, Jesus performed many, 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 many miracles. Even the Pharisees who just witness a miracle, they say, you know, show us a miracle. What are you doing? Show us a miracle and we will believe in you. None of them believe in him. Why? They have the scriptures and they still reject him. It's not about a power struggle here. It's not between Jesus and Caesar. That's a power struggle. No, it's a struggle for the truth. It's a battle of the mind because the lie, that deception was so ingrained. You don't just come out there, you know, easily. It's a battle. Until the truth is been accepted and crushed that foundation and that fortresses that has been built up into your life. If you are turning to God, if there is those who listen to me at this moment, who sit with the lie, and you still reject the truth, Paul said, what's your destiny? You will perish if you don't turn to God and accept the truth. It is right here in front of us. And we are so blind, we don't want to accept it. I trust that this of the Christian life, we are just there in verse 1 in 1 Timothy 4. Have encouraged us. I hope so. I hope it really spur us on to be careful of those false heretics. And everyone is a prophet and anyone this and everyone that. Friends, God, don't gossip. You don't gossip. You don't have to run to a prophet to tell you, give me a word of God. Can I give you a word of God? Can I? You want the word of God? I'm going to give it to you. You want it? Well, if you want it or not, I'm going to give it to you. Because we are so prone to run away here and there and everywhere. And whatever they dish up for you, I'm talking general. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to general. They believe it. They don't even question it. They don't even check it out. Is it so? That's why I said, God, don't gossip. Let me give you the word of God. And this is what the Lord said, just like the prophet said. This is what God said to me to say to you. This is what God said to me to say to you, that the Spirit say, clearly say, that in the latter days, some will be abandoned of the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. That's God's word to you, to me too. Do we accept it or not? God still said it, and that settles it. You want to put a question mark there? It's between you and God. Because God has spoken and he's not going to change his mind. And I trust that we will accept it. And if you are at home and you want a desperate word of God, took the Bible and read it loud for yourself so that you can hear the word of God speaking to you and accept what you read. Yes, it is the truth. And ask the Lord questions, the 5 W's. Why, who, where, when, what? And get the answers of those 5 questions right in that portion that you read. And then when you have it, this is what God said to you. And accept it. Even if you have to change your thinking of what you believe to come in line what God has for us. May God bless us. And may we, his word, have an abiding place in our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, your word is like a two-edged sword. I think back in my own life, there's many stuff that I believe and I have a conscientious objections of this and that, and none of that was rooted in your word. None. We heard it from our ancestors and a lot of these stuff is nonsense. And we have this and we do that and because we believe, but it's not even biblical. It's so easy that Paul said when another gospel will come or another Jesus will come or another spirit will come, we are so easily fall for that. Because there's no accountability or responsibility. There's nothing there. But a true one have accountability, stewardship. I have gonna bring to book. I have to live a godly life if I say I'm following Christ. There's the demands, there's the ultimatums, there's the principles of your word I have to comply to. That is what a Christian life is all about. Help us, Lord. Help us to discern when heretics come, when these wandering stars come, when false religions come, when people twist the truth. Help us, if we don't have the answer at that moment, that we will go and investigate, study, to show yourself approved unto God as a worker who don't have to be or the need to be ashamed, but someone that can really handle the word of the truth accurately, cut through the bone, heart, marrow, and sinews, right through. And even if it hurts, because it is for our benefit. Thank you that you speak to us. Confirm it in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, as the week goes before us, you're willing. Oh, bless each and every one in their different circumstances. Be real for them. Let you be real for them. Let they magnify you as a magnified glass and bring you closer to them in their circumstances so that you don't feel so distant for others that think you are dead. Please, Lord. And thank you that when the truth that our listeners have, when they hear it and that truth has been questioned, that they will with gentleness and with respect give an account of why they believe or why they do what they do. Because I know the lie will reject those. You will be very offended with the questions that come. Please, we ask this in your precious name.